Hoi, 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 cheeky monkey.
Hello, welcome to ABW Live. It's the Napoli Europa League game. Ooh, and we won. Thank God for that. After Sunday, I couldn't take any more. Hello, you beautiful gooners. First in the box, Stephen Edwards. Then there's And 235100, Thomas from Norway, Reese 1237, Alan Craker, Marco Bricks UK, Ron Ree, MJL, J Rob smashes in the donation. Ah, that's better, he said. J Rob's had a tough day, I noticed earlier on. So everybody give J Rob some love, please. He's always in there donating. He's always in there anyway. But he's had a hard day. So chat box, a bit of love for J Rob. Come on. Loki 73 is there. Jimmy the Greek's there. Fly KJ's there. Arsenal Red and White Army TV. Martin Gilmore's there. Hello, everybody. It's Sunam Gurung. I hope I haven't murdered that soon. Sunam, I do apologise. Carlito Elguna's there as well. Hello, everyone. Hope you're all well. Christ almighty, decent win. And after I shot my mouth off on Sunday as well, we're winning. Joining me tonight, we have the one and only. It's Norwich's finest nurse. It's Ellis Mel. Say hello, El.
Oh, man, that's like the nicest intro you've ever given to me. You must be in a good mood.
We won.
That we did. And we need to do that more often so I can have more nice intros. Come on, Arsenal. Do it for me, at least.
Before my next intro, Michael Hahnemann smashes in a donation. Thank you, Michael. You're always there. You're always a rock star. We really appreciate it. Needed that after a couple of days I've had. Now, please don't do a typical Arsenal and give us a heart attack next week. Michael, I couldn't agree more. After Sunday, I think we all deserve a break. Now, my next guest, what can I say about him? He is Captain Shitbeard. It is the one and only John Welsh. Say hello, John.
Hello, John.
It never gets old. Huh? It never gets old.
I'm good. How are you doing anyway, Jace? We spoke last night, didn't we? It's like we
did.
I don't have a night off from you, basically.
Just the two of us. We can make it if we try. Rudy Rastlos just says, I totally agree with this. Please tell me, is there a more frustrating team than the Arsenal? No, there's not. It's unbelievable. But in any case, let's get into it, guys. Before we start the show, I just want to plug something. Myself and John did do a podcast last night with a really great guy from Crystal Palace called Paul Price. It's a mental health special. All of you in this box, whoever listens to this show on a regular basis, know that we highlight mental health issues on a regular basis. It'll be released over the weekend before, is it the Watford game next? We would really appreciate your support in this. Paul is organising a walk from Selhurst Park to the Emirates on the day of the Crystal Palace game to highlight mental health issues. If you can come, go and join them, go and join them. They'll be posting a map of the walk. You can join at any point. So, you know, it's a really good, it's a great thing Paul's doing. He's an absolute gentleman. And please, guys, give it a listen. It's not for hits and clicks for us. It's purely for the cause. He's raising awareness for calm. It's the only time you're going to plug things like this. If you could give it a listen or join the walk, or if you're at the Emirates on the day of the Palace game, give him a big round of applause. They'll be calling him Pybury Corner as well. Please, please, please support them, because this guy, he's a bang decent guy. And it was a pleasure talking to him. So let's get on with the game, guys. John, I'm coming to you first. Lineups. After Sunday, a few changes. Talk to me.
Very happy with the team. Both strikers on the pitch. Ozil and Ramsey, most importantly, also on the pitch, starting the game together. We kept the wing-backs, which I thought was important. I know some people prefer the back four, but the way Napoli play, it's the best chance you can get to exploit them because their full-backs are weak and they're weaker in the wide areas. Koscielny back in the team as well, which was a really big thing. I think the defence is better with him, and we spoke off air about this a few times, Chase, how impressed we've both been one, the fact that he's managed to come back in and play at all, and the amount of games that he's played for us this season, how key he's become. You know, Cech kept his place in goal as well. The manager stuck with that. Maybe not so surprised, but, you know, I was a little bit worried about that because I thought Napoli might press, but just really positive looking lineup. And just very quickly looking at it from the Napoli side of things, I was surprised that Insigne started the game for them because I think I predicted that he'd probably come on as a sub just because he'd come back from injury so recently. So a little bit of a surprising lineup from Napoli, but really good from us, really positive.
Yeah, it was, to be fair. Good to see Torreira back. The game started. We had some really good early pressure. You get a Rambo shot blocked by Koulibaly, and he then actually blocked the Maitland-Niles follow-up shot as well. And, you know, we started the game positively, but you also saw some fabulous 1-2 play interplay from Napoli. The game started great guns, didn't it?
Yeah, definitely. We started with sort of some high pressure from the outset, and I think that was sort of the mindset of Arsenal. Certainly in that first half, to keep up with the high pressure, we were pushing high up on Napoli and we were trying to get them to force mistakes. And again, if it weren't for Koulibaly early on, then we potentially would have got a goal. There was, like you mentioned, those two blocks were in quick succession. There was chances for Aubameyang as well. Both Kolasinac and Ainsley Maitland-Niles were pushing up the pitch and trying to create chances. And it's just a sort of a theme, I think. At home, Arsenal are a different breed, and especially in the sort of the bigger games, they always seem to come out blazing. I think we had at the start of the season with these slow first halves, but we've really got that behind us now, and we seem to start games, especially at home against sort of the more tougher opposition. We seem to start really well and get up right in their faces and get good goals, and that obviously happened today.
Yeah, it was really nice to see. I'm going to come to you both on this. John, early doors, oh my God, it was a thing of beauty. We turn over the ball, certainly Ramsey gets in the way of a Napoli pass, and bang, what a counter-attack. Talk me through the first goal. John?
I've done a Josh, sorry.
Oh, yeah. No.
Oh, it's been one of those days. No, the goal was much better than my performance just then. it was kind of reminiscent, not in the exact same way, but in a sense it was a really good team goal, like the Fulham one was earlier this season. Everyone was involved. Ramsey was in the build-up and on the end of it. Özil did really well in part with that as well. The little through ball nutmeg pass from Lacazette into Maitland-Niles, and then the cushioned pass from Maitland-Niles into Ramsey's path, and then the finish itself, very calm, controlled. He didn't smash it, didn't rush it, just put it into the corner where the keeper couldn't get it. And they really picked Napoli apart. And very early on, you could see they were already identifying the weaknesses in Napoli's defence, which is their fullbacks, and they exploited it. And just, I loved how well the goal flowed. It was brilliant. And that was like, though that goal in particular was just like some of our best football we've played all season. And we haven't seen enough of it. But like Ellie said, at home, we're so, so dangerous. And honestly, the way we play at home, I really do fancy us against anyone.
Yeah, yeah. I so enjoyed the goal. Obviously, you know, with the goal scorer as well, it made it doubly special. But just the movement for everybody.
It's every pass in it, isn't it?
It's
like it's Ramsey's pass into Ozil's pass, Lacazette's little through ball, the nutmeg pass, the cushion touch from Maitland-Niles is beautiful. The perfect just to kill the ball just for Ramsey's movement.
Do you know what? That touch from Maitland-Niles, he has an up and down season at times, but I just thought that summed up his potential. He's so calm under pressure. I know now and again like on Sunday, got the better of him, but I really love this kid. Ellis, your thoughts on it? Because, I mean, I was screaming and jumping for joy.
Yeah, it was just, it set the tone for the game, or certainly the first half, with both sort of Ramsey and Torreira for that first half, just running around like terriers. And the way that move starts, is I can't remember if, I think you might have said it was Ramsey, I couldn't remember if it was Ramsey or Torreira. One of those two is on Napoli player, forces the error. There looks like BT tried to hint at it, maybe potentially a foul from Lacazette blocking the player off from getting the ball. Ramsey picks up, plays it back to Lacazette, who then, like you say, nutmegs the player to put into Ainsley Maitland-Niles. And that sort of deft touch back to Ramsey puts him in so much space and time. And again, like John said, just slots it away, and it just was perfect move for me. It showed what Arsenal at their best have been this season. It showed sort of tenacity, fight, good skill, one touch passing. It was all involved there, from win the ball up high and just being clinical. All the passes there were clinical. There was especially the sort of the Ainsley Maitland-Niles and the Lacazette passes. They had to be spot on. It had to go for that tiny gap between the player's legs from the nutmeg to get to Ainsley Maitland-Niles. And Maitland-Niles had to make that touch first time and lay it cushioned to give Ramsey the time to sort of just slot it away. And it was beautiful. And it's just good to start and put the sort of nerves to bed the way we did with an early goal.
Yeah, absolutely. Regarding the push, yeah, I know the commentators made a bit of a deal of it. But, you know, it was a couple of minutes later when Aubameyang was pushed over in the box. And the referee waved it away. Well, if that's not a penalty, then Lacazette on, I can't remember the fella's name, is not a foul either. It's a joke, you know.
Spot on.
You can't have double standards in it. And to be fair to the referee tonight, although you can disagree with certain decisions, I thought he was consistent. I thought he was strong. And I thought he had a bloody good game, to be fair to him.
Well, I mean, we don't need to talk about him. That's the compliment you should always be giving a ref, is that you don't really need to mention him.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
I just thought that, you know, we bring that in because, you know, that has been mentioned. So, you know, it's one of those things. I don't like the commentary teams when they don't judge everything the same way, you know. Let's go straight. I'm going straight back to you on this, Elle, and then to you, John, because it was only a few minutes later, Torreira. Oh, he wins the ball. He does the step over. He scores the goal. Talk to me.
Yeah, again, just in very similar circumstances to the previous goal. It's one of the midfielders, Torreira and Ramsey, pressing hard. And that's something we saw from the outset today, is we were pressing high and we were forcing Napoli into errors. And Torreira did exactly that. That's how the whole move starts off. He wins the ball high up the pitch in a good position. He does a bit of a step over, crosses it back, and you think, hang on a minute, what's he fucking doing? This is Torreira. He shouldn't be doing stuff like this. And he takes a shot, and Koulibaly, who's obviously put in those two blocks earlier on to stop us scoring a goal, has tried to put another block in. For me, the ball looked like it was going off target, so I'm pretty sure that's going to go down as a Koulibaly own goal. But he's tried to block it, and he's completely sent the keeper the wrong way, and it's gone in. And for Torreira, who's obviously come from Sampdoria, played in that league, probably enjoyed that quite a bit, really, scoring against Napoli. And I just pleased for the guy, really. Like, he's been out for suspension for a while, so to get him in the game and see a bit of him, see him sort of come straight back into the game, looking fresh, looking sharp, looking how he liked Torreira, and to cap it off with a semi-goal or assist, to depend who you give the goal to, I thought really showed how well he played.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I mean, we'll come to Ramsey and Torreira a bit later, but I just thought, you know, I thought he struggled up until the point he had the ban. And to watch him come back tonight and to watch him play with the tenacity and the attitude and, you know, and the quality he showed on the pitch was brilliant to see. John, your view on the goal, because I bloody enjoyed it.
Yeah, that what you mentioned there about him sort of fading before he got suspension, I think it's actually a really good point to highlight, because, you know, he's still very, very young. I think because we've got Guendouzi, who plays in the same position, and he's, you know, come from League Two and he's a few years younger still, Torreira's kind of like, oh, well, he's an international, you know, he's experienced. But he's really not. He's only had one full season at Sampdoria. This is one full season in a completely different league. He's come to another league where there isn't a winter break. And I think the suspension is maybe not come at the best time for the club, but for him personally, it's come at a good time. And he's recovered well from it. That little break away, not playing, I think he's got some, you know, the fitness back in his legs. And that is Torreira at his best, when he's snapping into tackles, he's pressing high, winning the ball up high. Because other than obviously that goal itself, which is great, because he just drives into the space and just sells the player the wrong way. I think Ellis is right. It probably will go down as a Koulibaly goal. He did that all game.
It is a Koulibaly on goal.
Yeah. But it just, you know, win the ball and he looks up and he goes, right, I can play the pass. All right, no, I'm going to drive into space. I'm going to take into the space, wait until the player comes to me, then I'll play the pass. Okay, the passing on, chop back inside, you know. It's brilliant from him, and I love watching him play, and he clearly did need that little break. And he's, again, 21, 22, I think. He's only going to get better.
I'm really, you know, I thought Guendouzi really struggled on Sunday, but I look at Guendouzi and Torreira, and they excite me going forward for the future. I think these, if we develop these guys properly, you know, we'll be in good shape going forward. And you know, I mean, look, we're always honest about what we see as the performance, but the performance is, you know, it's one game. It's one game. So, you know, you've got to take it as it comes along. But it was fantastic to see Torreira tonight. And fortune favoured the brave with that goal. I chuffed a bits for him. He may not get the credit for it, but we all know what he did. And that was superb.
That's the other thing as well with him. You got to love that. He's willing to take a chance, take a pop.
Yes. Yeah, I totally agree. Let's move on. L. We see a shot saved, merit saves from Aubameyang from a move from the corner. It was a really nice move. Coming over the back, Kolasinac involved. You know, merit was going to go on to play a big part for them in this game. And it really unfortunate we couldn't beat him at that time and really put it to bed early, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that was probably the first corner. We had a couple beforehand where he just seemed to just go near post and their defenders seemed to clear it. So it was good to see do something that Arsenal haven't done for many a season, just try and mix up a bit and try something different from a corner instead of just constantly going playing it short or going near post. And we tried something a bit different. And Torreira picked out Kolasinac at the edge of the box. And I thought it was really clever to sort of find Aubameyang in that space. And then Aubameyang sort of he sizes up and tries to sort of curl it. I think in that situation, I prefer him to sort of just blast it across goal because you can see once the Merit has made that save, there's three, potentially four Arsenal players all sat there basically looking for that rebound. So if you put a bit more sort of fizz on that, you've got the chance of the keeper maybe spilling it to one of those guys and tapping it home for the third goal. But it wasn't to be. But it was good to just see a bit of ingenuity from the corner and just trying something a bit different and seeing that it actually resulted in a good chance on goal. It wasn't a goal, but it was a good chance nonetheless, and there was more to come.
Yeah, absolutely. John, on Sunday I gave Mesut Ozil an absolute slating, okay, and I thought deservedly so. But tonight, I thought he was great tonight. I thought he linked play up beautifully. I thought he was showing all the time. And, you know, how can I put this? He wasn't spectacular, but I thought it was a really good comeback performance for him. There was a point just after that effort where one of the Napoli players comes in and he just avoids having his leg broken because the guy flew in with two feet. I'm surprised the referee didn't come back to book him on it. But you could see he was at it tonight, couldn't you? You could see, you know, I thought Mesut was on form tonight and it was great to see.
Yeah, they just couldn't handle him tonight. No one was picking him up. The defence didn't know whether to grab him on the midfield. He was finding all the gaps. He was constantly showing for the ball. That tackle in particular, the little flick he does over, I think it was Mario Rui, it might be. It was either him or Alan. Just to knock it round him. And you can see, when he does that, you know he's on it because he's like, right, I'm going to wait until the very last second and I'm going to embarrass the guy and then do something with the ball. There was a lovely bit where he flicked it between two players, and if it wasn't for some really, really good reading of the game from Koulibaly, he could have been in at goal as well. And he was always offering and always trying to find that final pass tonight. And that's the Mesut you want to see, because it's not just about his, you know, silky pass and his vision, that kind of thing. He had the right attitude tonight and you could see he really wanted it. And he was disappointed when he came off as well, but it was the right disappointment. It wasn't, oh, head down, you know, sort of sulking. It was, I'm annoyed because I know I'm playing well and I want to stay out on the pitch and I want to create more. And that's the Mesut we want to see game in, game out.
There's a nice moment in the second half. I know we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves, but you could see him and Lacazette talking to each other, discussing the game. And the hand movements were quite clearly talking about a part of the game. And I thought, you know, it was great to see that, wasn't it? You know, because that's the Mesut Ozil we all want to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's in the way that you want a Koscielny or a Xhaka to be, you know, a leader in terms of the attitude to go out on the pitch. You want Ozil to be your leader in terms of the creating the chances and saying, look, if you make this movement here, or there's space behind this defender, and informing the strikers, and as good as Aubameyang and Lacazette are, no one's got better vision on the pitch than Ozil. And he can see those little spaces and where the gaps are going to appear, and having those conversations and saying, if you just make that run like a second earlier or a little bit more to the left, that kind of thing, then you can get into this kind of space. And that's what you want him to be the leader for the team.
Yeah. It's a joy to watch him like that. And there was one point where the way he was flowing on the ball, okay, it reminded me of that Leicester game. And I thought we were going to really get going. It didn't quite happen, but it's good to see it. You know, as much as we will give them stick, you've got to give them praise when they do well. El, you saw Merrick save from Aubameyang a couple of times. We saw Lacazette. I think the ball was a bit quick into him. He kind of, you know, missed one totally. We were really on top of this game, weren't we? We were pushing for a third goal. We weren't quite at it. And I got to be honest here, I thought Lacazette and Aubameyang struggled in front of goal and on the ball at times. But their work rate was spectacular, wasn't it?
Yeah, our tails are certainly up. Sort of after that second goal, sort of 30th plus minute, we were all over them. I literally can't think of, until before the end of the first half, a real Napoli chance. We were just sort of all over them. The high pressure was working. There was a point one, I think maybe Torreira won a header and knocked it straight to Mesut Ozil. He was in loads of space and he had Alba to his left, and they just weren't quite on the same wavelength. And I thought that was a bit of a theme really today with Ozil, Aubameyang and Lacazette. There was just something quite missing there. The pass wasn't quite sharp enough. You mentioned the time one Aubameyang had the ball when he probably passed it into Lacazette a bit too fast. Lacazette couldn't quite get his feet right and just sort of scuffed the ball completely. And it's just, there was a lot of chances and it was a bit frustrating. I think we were not unlucky, but I think we'd all be sort of in agreement that we potentially should have probably gone into the end of that half, maybe 3-0 up with the sort of semi-chances we had if the balls to each other had been slightly better, if the connection between Ozil, Lacazette and Alba just been that little bit more crisp. I think we probably could have seen a third goal between that half. And I think that's a bit frustrating. If you'd said to me that 2-0 at the start of the game, I'd bite your hand off for it. So to be sat there nitpicking before half time that we're not 3-0 up, I think is quite a lucky position to be in, really.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. We've just had some breaking news. Stan the Man 450 is going Whitecaps. Yes, he is moving to Vancouver. Now, this is Stan the Man 450. You've still got internet there, so I expect you to keep on listening, to keep the likes coming, to be here with us. We're going to miss you, but good luck out there from all of us. John, flip side, Napoli played badly that first half, okay? Summing it up was Insigne, Sommer, skies went over. They had a really good break and a really good cross from Callahan. That, you know, they've got some really nice interplay, some really good one-touch stuff. But it summed up their first half, didn't it?
I'll put it politely. Napoli were garbage first half, I'll be honest. They couldn't pass. They really couldn't pass. And I was very surprised.
Was that down to our pressing?
Yeah, no, a lot of that was down to us and the way we played. And our midfield was, I mean, Rambo and Torreira were superb in the way they pressed. But they're still very good players, you know, Napoli. Their team is still very good and they've still got very good players. But they were all so off it in the first half. You know, Insigne, I didn't expect to start, to be honest, because he's only just come back from an injury and he wasn't in great form before that injury. You saw some good flashes of him in the second half, but first half, yeah, just they couldn't get on the ball. Callahan was doing nothing. Alan, who is their destructive midfielder, couldn't pass 5 yards. Zielinski was out on the left. He's kind of forced there because Dries Mertens is playing up top and it doesn't really suit him. You know, their fullbacks aren't amazing that they've got. If it was like me as a neutral watching the game, I would have been disappointed because I expected more from Napoli, to be fair. And in the second half, they did turn up a bit more and started to cause a threat. But first half, they just weren't in the game.
No, absolutely.
Can I interject?
Yeah, crack on.
Yeah, sorry. Just like, I just think what struck me in that first half is how many times have we seen teams do what we did to Napoli today against us, where they've pressed us and they've made our players, we've got good players at our team, look a bit pants, force them into making bad mistakes. And I think John obviously knows Napoli and the Serie A a lot better than me, so he's got a more valid opinion on how they played. But I thought a lot of that influence was from our pressing and how well we played. We forced them into those mistakes. When the pressing sort of eased off in the second half, you saw Napoli come into their own. Yes, and Insigne had a poor chance, and that was in the like the, just before half time. That's probably because he barely had a chance to get on the ball, so he rushed it a bit. And that's happened so many times to us. I can think back to sort of Liverpool in the last few seasons when they have just done that to us and just forced us into silly errors and made us look like fools. And I think we did that to Napoli in the first half.
I totally agree, Paul.
I just wanted to say Arsenal, the official Arsenal account has released a heat map of Torreira for tonight, and literally the only bits of the pitch that aren't red, and I mean bright red, are the corner flags. That is it.
I've got to be honest. Stay there for a second. I want to talk about them at the end of the game, because I thought Ramsey and Torreira were mind-blowingly good tonight. I thought they were fantastic. Nearly as fantastic as the YouTube account John Welsh gave me crabs, and he posts in the chat box, has anyone got yogurt? John Welsh gave me crabs, and we will be sending you free yogurt. Don't worry. it's on its way.
I already spoke to that account, Jace, in the chat, and they actually said they're a collection of 1,500 women. So, yeah. I'm a lady, see? Yeah, there you go.
Oh, it's not Kelly, is it?
All right. No comment. I bet Kelly didn't like being referenced there, though.
Sorry, I don't care. I will say, the one player in Napoli's ranks who, and I thought this summed it up, at the end of the first half, what's his name again? What's his name?
Centre-back or Insigne? Who are you talking about?
The keeper.
Oh, Alex Merritt.
Merritt makes a save from Rambo again. And I just thought, you know, that guy tonight was superb. I thought there were two epic saves, and you know he is the one guy in that Napoli team who came off that first half, and you know he held his head up high. Pete Coulson asks, "Who is holding back the tappy tappy rant?" It's here. It's that time of day again. That's the first half done. It's Thursday night. Half past 10. There's 213 of you in the box, and I've got 63 likes. I mean, you know, we've just watched a really good performance from the Arsenal after the crap they served up to us on Sunday, and I get 63 likes. I'm tired. I want to go to bed. I'm not that pretty to begin with, okay? I need my beauty sleep. But no, I'm here for you. Okay, I'm here for you. John Welsh, he's here for you. Ennis Mel is doing earlies tomorrow morning. Okay, he is saving lives in A&E on his own, single-handedly, okay, saving the people of East Anglia from death and bad haircuts. And I don't know.
Haircuts.
I'm trying to think of something. I can't always.
Web toes.
Web toes.
Shut it, John.
I'm not being funny. You know who's going to be in tomorrow, Nicky Wilson, okay? But in any case, it's that time. Tappy fucking tappy. Let's get going. Can I have some likes, please? I want 100 right now. Okay? Don't let yourselves down, okay? Don't be like Aaron Ramsey second half, skying it over the bloody bar. No. No, be like Aaron Ramsey first half, placing it neatly into the corner. Let's get going. 100 likes. Tappy, tappy. Let's get going. Yeah, me fash. Less laughter, more tapping. Come on, pal. Callum Grant. Come on, let's tap that button. I want some more likes, boys. Oh, AJ says, get the vodka shots for our boys. Tell you what, boys, if I went in vodka right now, okay, it'd all go tits up. Second half, let's get going. Cos breaks out an early break. Napoli really came at us, didn't they? They really, really, really came at us.
Yeah, sorry, mate. I'm just a bit emotional from that speech you just did. That was amazing. We need to get you in every half time for the Arsenal, and you gear them boys right up. You got like 10 likes just for you in that speech alone. Fuck that. Like 20 likes now. That's gone right up.
I'm not fucking happy with 20. I want 30 or 40 for that.
Anyway, back to your question. Yeah, Napoli proper like came out of the blocks in that second half. They're finding sort of a lot more space, especially sort of out wide. There's, as the half progressed, I was getting more and more sort of worried by Monreal that side, and Insigne seemed to get a lot of space behind him. But I thought the defence held up well. Like you say, Koz made a good block in there. I think when they did get into those wide spaces, the centre backs kept tight, they kept well, and they blocked those passes and stopped them creating a lot of clear cut chances. They did create chances, but nothing sort of clear cut. There certainly could have been a lot more if it wasn't for the centre backs today. And it was just, you could see that they were coming out a bit, and you could see that they were up for it. But I thought that gave us a bit more space. They were definitely pushing for a goal, and it gave us a bit more space to counter, but it just didn't seem to be the way. I think there was a chance as well. Koulibaly headed from a corner, and you start to get a bit scared with Arsenal. I know we're two goals up, probably should have been three in half time, and they were sort of knocking on the door, and I was a bit worried, I'll say the least, but I think we held up well, to be honest.
Okay, John, I want you to expand on this, because I've got to be honest with you. I thought we were gritty, okay? I slightly disagree there. It's not, you know, not nothing. But I thought Nacho looked really weak. I thought, I'm looking at Nacho and I think his legs are gone, okay? I looked at Sokratis. I thought, you can't criticise him, but I don't think we looked accomplished as a unit, okay? What were your thoughts?
I mean, Nacho was the weakness in the back. What I would say to counter that is that Insigne and Callejon are fucking rapid, and I don't expect Nacho to catch them in a foot race. The issue he's got is that because we were pressing so high, Carlo obviously adjusted the system slightly, and they went very, very direct. And yes, if you're playing free at the back, you shouldn't be caught out by a direct ball, but because they were hitting like bang into the wing and doing a lot of diagonals, Nacho is going to get caught because Kolasinac is going to be so hard up the pitch, and our midfield generally was as well. And they were essentially trying to break our press that we were doing so well in the first half and just go, right, we'll ignore the midfield. We can't play through it and play our usual football. We've got to go long and go direct. You know, and I think actually for the most part, we actually did very well. I've not seen us keep a high line like that for a very, very long time. And considering it's against a team that has got very quick players, you saw how many times they got caught offside. It was a lot, you know, it really, really was. Yes, Nacho got down a few times. There's no denying that. And they probably should have scored. I think it's fair to say Napoli. They had the chances to. But I think, look, despite how bad they were in the first half, they're a very, very good team. And I don't think if you came out of this game, ignoring the, you know, before the game, if you said Napoli will score a goal, I don't think most people would go, well, that means Arsenal must have played bad. You go, well, yeah, Napoli might score a goal because they're a really good team. They're second in Serie A, you know, they're there for a reason. So they were always going to cause a threat. And I don't think there was any way you're going to get through 90 minutes, whether you're home or away, without them at least creating some chances.
That fair comment. You know, I got to be honest with you. I'm being a little bit critical here. Okay, I really am, but I mean, I think we've got to be, you know, going forward. It's not going to be easy away from home. No. Like I said, I shot my mouth off on Sunday. We need to go to Napoli and we need to win. Otherwise, I'm going to look like a mug. I don't need any help with that.
Every cloud and all that.
I think the one thing I would say is that maybe after 15 minutes, there's an opportunity for either the manager or someone on the pitch to say, no, Kolasinac, come in a little bit, or grab, you know, Torreira and say, just stick a little bit closer to Nacho to help him. You know, someone just on that side. Because down our right-hand side, to be fair, they didn't really get that much joy. It was a lot down our left.
I thought AMN, after a tough game Sunday, with second half, he fell apart a little bit. Mm. He showed real character.
Yeah.
Well, I'm Kolasinac, in all fairness, but I thought AMN was very accomplished tonight. We'll talk about Ramsey and Torreira later. because the work those boys got through was phenomenal. Also, I felt that I wasn't over the moon with, like I said earlier on, with Aubameyang and Lacazette on the ball. But my God, them and Ozil, they set the tempo from the front. They really, really did set that tempo and work their socks off. It was very, very impressive. Ellis, Aubameyang has a shot blocked I can't remember who it was, sorry. After some really good work from Ozil. Then you see Merritt. You know, it was a really excellent save from Ramsey when he whips it across with some real pace, cross goal. Oh, were you kind of getting the feeling we're not going to get lucky here?
Maybe not at that point. I thought we basically weathered the Napoli storm until then. I can't really think of us much getting much chances before that. And like you said, Koala, Kolasinac and Ozil, they combined well and again led to sort of Aubameyang having a shot that was deflected for a corner, and then that sort of nice sort of link up play in a short corner, which I normally get frustrated with Ozil, Kolasinac and Ramsey, and again gets in great position and takes that shot. And I think in another day against a keeper who wasn't playing as well as Merritt was, we may have got a goal. But I don't think I wasn't particularly negative then. I thought we were just finally getting our foot into the second half. So I wouldn't say I was too worried about us not getting that third goal. I think Kolasinac would probably be a bit aggrieved that he wasn't involved in the goal, either directly with an assist or something like that, because he got a lot of sort of space down that left-hand side, and I don't think he really made the right decisions in terms of the balls he was going to play.
Record this bit, Al. I think you're absolutely bang on.
Oh, my God.
Bang on.
I'm having a lovely day. You've praised me in the intro. You've said I'm bang on. You used your tappy-tappy thing. You talked about how brilliant I was. I thought I'm going to cry. I might just go now. I'm getting too emotional.
This is the height of your career, pal. I'm telling you. Mr. Bob Lex, you are forgiven for being late. Good to have you here. Danny's just put a link in the box, guys. Gunaholic, our Dave, his latest offering, his latest blog. Have a look at it. Matt Sanasi is in the chat box. Rudy Rastlos is there. Archie's there. Hello, guys. Hope you're all okay. John, you see Mkhitaryan and Iwobi come on for Ozil and Lacazette. The boys are disappointed coming off, but I feel they should both be proud of their contributions today. I thought, you know, they worked so hard and they had the brilliant attitude. It was really good to see. And shortly afterwards, you see Zielinski. Oh my God, he missed a sitter.
Yeah. Why he didn't go with his left foot, I've got no idea. Because it was, if he goes with his left, it's just a tapping. And it's a brilliant ball from Insigne. Again, it's, you know, he gets in behind Nacho and exploiting that space there. But I've got no idea. I really like Zielinski. I think he's a great player. And I know Steve's spoken about him a lot, obviously being a Polish player. But good luck for us, basically. Yeah. You know, Czech does everything he can. The defence does everything he can. It's just one of those times where it's a great ball. It's beaten Nacho. Insigne puts in a perfect cross and you just have to hope that the player coming in misses it. And thankfully for us, he did.
Absolutely, absolutely. Jim Howson piles in with a donation. Jimmy boy, thank you very much. Jimmy Wright for Gunners Town. Guys, keep an eye out for his work. It's really good. Really enjoy his stuff. And he's been a cheeky little devil here. And he says, please ask Lana if this is the team she warned us about. Oh, don't mess with Lana. I tell you what, she makes me look like a pussycat. But thank you, Jim. You're top man, mate. Thank you ever so much. Top man. Brilliant of you. You see Elneny, Ellis. We then see Torriero picks up a little knock. Elneny replaces him. I was a little bit concerned at that point. And then you see Aaron Ramsey. There's some really good build-up play with Henrik Mkhitaryan, who, when he did come on, to be fair, put Sunday's performance behind him again. And of course, there were a couple of mistakes, but the attitude he showed, he got on top of the game straight away. He puts in a brilliant cross for Ramsey. Rambo absolutely skies it. The tit. Talk to me.
Can't believe you called Ramsey a tit. This is amazing. Best radio show ever. I was quite critical of Mkhitaryan in the Everton game. He was just one of those players that caught my eye with a lot of his mistakes. He wasn't the only one. A lot of them made mistakes, but it just the ones that lingered in my memory were Mkhitaryan's. And I must admit, when both him and Iwobi came on for Lacazette and Ozil, I was a bit sceptical of it, but I thought 2-0, see out the tie, rest some players, make sure they're okay. And to be fair, I think I agree with you. He played quite well. Again, there was a bit of mistakes where he's trying to play a bit too cutely, play out from the back that could have potentially led into us to conceding the goal. But he done really well in creating that chance for Ramsey. And obviously, Ramsey's going to be pretty pissed off with himself that he blasted that over. But I think it's just one of those ones where you've got a player who's coming in. And I think Ramsey's half, he's not sent it to late, because I think Mkhitaryan may have put it through someone's legs to get to him. So we'll give Rambo the benefit of the doubt and just say he's sent that a bit too late and just leant back and blasted it over. But he should have really done better. But other than that, Mkhitaryan, great play there. And hopefully he can build on that. Because prior to the Everton game, I thought Mkhitaryan was playing quite well, form-wise anyway.
No, I can't argue with that, mate. I really can't. I think you hit the nail on the head there. John, after Ramsey's, it was a piss poor miss. It was really bad. I expect him to hit that. But then you see Aubameyang and Mkhitaryan creating again. There's a break, it's 3-on-3. Mkhitaryan drives forward, really good work, puts Aubameyang into space, and he puts in the side netting. Another tit. Talk to me.
It's funny because for all the chances we created, not many of them actually fell to Aubameyang or Lacazette on the actual night. It was more Ozil, Ramsey, the attacking midfielders than the actual strikers. And we know that sometimes Aubameyang might take a couple to put one in, despite his ridiculous goal scoring record. He'll be disappointed he didn't hit the target with that one, but I'm not going to fault his work rate or Lacazette's tonight. I thought they were both brilliant, but he should be hitting a target, and Ramsey with the previous one as well was just, ugh. And so, the only person who was cheering that was a certain Chris Carpenter. I'm watching you, Chris. He was making comments about Juventus's next great player. Yeah, cheeky git.
Stop the show. Listeners, that's all you need to know about Chris Carpenter's views on footballers is the one and only Yaya Sanogo. Okay? And if you want me to back that up, I'll add a second. Mikel Arteta. He'll do a job at WBA. That's all I'm saying. Back to the show. Mr. Bob Lex smashes in a donation and he says, great game, should have scored more. Come on, you gooners. You are correct, mate. You are correct. Thank you, Mr. Bob Lex. You're a rock star. Absolutely love it. We should have been 6-0 up. We really should have been. We were wasteful. I mean, Aubameyang must have had 6 or 7 shots at goal. He must have. And for their work rate, I wanted him and Lacazette and Ozil to score. It just didn't come off tonight. We then see, I really feel for Koscielny, Cech coming out to the corner and he smashes him. But that's what I want to see from our keeper.
Yeah, elbow straight to the head. Had to come off with, I think, a bit of blood on there, didn't he? So he has to come off the pitch to be treated for that. And you feel for Koscielny because he's had his lion's share of injuries, hasn't he, over his career. And I think it wasn't that long ago that an article came out saying he had to have painkiller injections or something like that. And he's basically just playing through the pain barrier. To see that he's come back from what he has come back from, that injury against Atletico Madrid last season in the Europa League, to come back and be where he is today is good. It's always worrying when you see him go down, whether it's a head injury or a little bit later on in the game where he's down there, he's got a bit of cramp when he fell over on a box. You do start to worry about him. I don't think he's someone that we should solely rely on, but unfortunately sort of have to because he's probably the best defender at our club.
I don't disagree with that. I think he's been, you've seen him in recent weeks, been brilliant. And it's a great credit to him. I didn't think he'd come back from that injury. I think he's been magnificent. And I'm highly critical of a cut Charlie. Really am. But there we go. That's the game, guys. John, you first, then pass on straight to Ellis. I felt we played some really good stuff. I felt we were wasteful. I thought we... Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Alain D'Souza, Chris Knight. We will not have any of that nonsense in this chat box. Behave yourselves. You're better than that. Come on. Stefan Selby's in there. Hello, Stefan Selby. How are we? Yeah, I thought we played some lovely football. I thought Torreira and Ramsey were magnificent. I thought, and credit to Torreira, to come back after, you know, the ban, and you know, really perform the way he did was magnificent. I think there's no surprise that whenever Aaron Ramsey starts, we play better football. And it was good to see the bounce back from Sunday. What were your feelings?
Yeah, I think in a way, you know, I was confident going into the game anyway because it was at home, but I think the Sunday result actually boosted us a little bit. We went out with the right attitude. Torreira and Ramsey were just superb, particularly in the first half. They were brilliant. You know, Napoli had none of the ball, showed none of the control that they can show in games or none of their passing ability. They were completely nullified. I thought the defence dealt with Napoli really well. Yes, Nacho got exploited a few times. Should have scored more goals, but I think it's fair to say that, you know, Napoli probably should have scored tonight. There's no denying that. We did play really, really well, but Napoli should have got a goal, at least one, maybe two. And we could have had four or five. If you were going to say, give Napoli the away goal and then we get the amount of goals we're supposed to get, I'd rather keep the 2-0. I think it's really good. It's massively important to have that clean sheet. I think it gives them that confidence. They know that the away game is going to be tough. They're not stupid. Torreira's already spoken about it. And he knows the stadium. He's going to tell his teammates about that. So I do you think it's a really, really good platform to build from? And I think we're good enough to go out there and get a goal. We get a goal out there, Napoli have got to score four. They're pushing on to us. That's perfect for players like Ramsey, like Aubameyang, like Lacazette to exploit that space. So I think we're in a really good position. I thought we'd win tonight, but I didn't think we'd do it in the way we did. So really, really pleased.
Yeah. Al?
Yeah, again, mostly sort of echoing what John and yourself have said about Aaron and Torreira. They were everywhere today. They were the engine in that midfield. They had so much energy. I'm not surprised about what John said with Lucas's heat map there, because he was everywhere. Both him and Ramsey were. Again, Torreira came off a bit, sort of, and Ramsey done the whole 90 minutes, but he still had so much energy, and it's maddening that he's going to be gone. But I think those players, really, again, first half, bossed it completely. I can literally only think of a slight chance in that first half towards a stroke of half time. Other than that, Napoli didn't get a sniff because Aaron Ramsey and Lucas Torreira were all on them, all over them as soon as they got the ball, closing them down. And both those players are heavily involved in the two goals. So for me, those two just had an outstanding match, and hopefully they can build on that for the away leg. Again, like John, I'm a bit more worried about the away leg. Our away form has been not as bad as it was last season. It's improved, but it's still poor. And we've seen in the Europa League, our away form has been not good either, with losses against Ren and losses against Bate. And again, Napoli at their stadium is a completely different kettle of fish compared to those two clubs. So it's going to be difficult. I don't know them as well as John does, but I think, again, it's going to play to our hands that we've got the two-goal lead and we've kept a clean sheet at home, so there's no away goals from there. So they are going to have to come at us, and I think that'll play into our hand. And if Aaron Ramsey and Lucas Torreira can play anything like they did this game, then we've certainly got a good chance of going through to the next round.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're going to go to questions now. Ellis Mel has put the first question in, and it's from Marble Halls TV. Question, and I don't know what the hell is going on here, but I have to ask Ellis about it. The Swedish lady you had on should apologise for saying you were too confident. Welsh justice or justice for Jace. Lana, sorry. Now I understand. No, I got to be honest with you. I mean, you know, I get the perspective of the boys here about Napoli being a good team. That's all any of us do is give our opinions on what we've seen over the season. Okay, whenever I watched Italian football, I think being 20 points off Juve and you know, second Italian league, I don't think it's great. I really don't. You know, you watch AC Milan, they are Jekyll and Hyde. You watch Inter Milan, oh my God. How do you put yourself through that?
Can we not mention that team, please?
Yeah, they're shit, aren't they? Yeah, they're shit. It's some dog shit football in Serie A nowadays. I'm sorry. But I do think the secret to us winning away is Aaron Ramsey in midfield. He offers us so much. And I know, you know, look, you can accuse me of being a massive Aaron Ramsey fanboy, fair enough. I ain't got a problem with it. But look at our recent performances. There's one common denominator. And if we go out there with everybody fit, I think we're winning. So, yeah. And Lana, to be fair, thank you to Lana. She was a great guest. And we had massive technical difficulties on Sunday. And it was car crash podcasting. But, you know, it's fantastic to have people on. It's fantastic that you guys are there with us. So thank you. John has a question for you. Who are you eyeing up as a replacement for Rambo?
I know.
Why?
I mean, that just makes me sad whenever I think about it. I genuinely don't know. It's really tough to find a player who does what he does. I mean, I know he didn't look amazing tonight, but Zielinski is one. I know some people go, he's rubbish, but he's
got great feet. His feet are superb, aren't they?
He's got fantastic feet, and he does tend to break into the box more. He is more of a central player than he is, you know, in this system. He's currently playing on the left a lot. He's one I would look at, but yeah, I don't know. They're going to have to find someone, or they'll change the system. You know, it's so difficult to replace for an exact replica player.
The difficulty I have, okay, with all this is they didn't want to pay him the money or whatever. I really couldn't give a monkey's. Who, if you want to get in a like-for-like quality replacement, you're going to have the transfer fee, and then you're going to have to pay similar bloody wages.
Yeah, you either have to. Otherwise, you have to find someone who's younger who can develop into that. Yeah.
Yeah, I just think it's an absolute nonsense. And, you know, Raul Sanlehi, you're a mug. You're a fucking mug. Okay? End of story, fella. You've got gambling debt somewhere. That's what's happening here.
That answers the next question.
Sorry. Ellis Mel, next question. Pete Coulson asks, it is now apparent to all that letting our most influential player, Rambo, go for free or at any price is ridiculous. Who should be hanged for this madness?
I might just trigger you, Jason, and say, well, maybe Ramsey. I don't know what goes on in the club. I don't know who makes the decisions. None of us are privy to that information. Who knows? This is really going to upset Jason. Maybe Ramsey decided that he didn't want to be at Arsenal anymore and was going to see out his contract and go elsewhere. We don't know that. But what I will say, regardless of what happened, he is playing for the shirt and he is playing well. So whether he's decided he wants to lay down his contract and decide where he goes, or Arsenal have pulled the contract out because they decided they don't want to pay him the money and they deem him surplus to requirements, I don't know. But I think what we should just commend him for is playing as well as he has played. Because other players we've seen who have got their mind on a transfer don't play half as well and just stop playing for the club. And there you go. I think Jason has just sat there by his tongue. He's going to go. He's going to say something. Wait for it.
Remember, Jace, no carpentering it tonight because we're supposed to be done in 1 hour.
Keep this short and sweet. Chat box, I'm about to chastise Ellis. Don't get cocky. Hit that like button. Tappy, tappy. Ellis, you were doing so well up until that point. The club pulled the contract. We know that.
Okay? Do we know that? Do you know that?
Yeah, we know that. Okay, it's
been. Give me your sources.
Aaron Ramsey.
He could be lying.
Unai Emery, Raul Sanlehi. He doesn't fit my system, like we were told. That's a direct quote from Unai Emery. Doesn't fit my system. All bollocks, we know. Never mind. Let's move on. It's not a Ramsey wank fest.
Well done.
We'll stick with you because that was a bit of a nasty question. Sorry, I don't decide the questions. John puts them in. I read them out. Jeffrey O'Hara asks, we just lost 1-0 to Everton. So why is everyone so confident we can definitely score Naples?
I wouldn't say I'm confident, I'm not as negative on it now because essentially we're halfway in the tie now. If it was a 90-minute game, it'd be half time and we're 2-0 up, and that's a good job. Again, away fame's been woeful, but I feel like even against sort of the top six in the Premier League, our away form has improved and we sort of up our game a bit more against stronger opponents. I think with Everton, Arsenal sort of believed their own hype. We're sort of on the crest of a wave and we thought we could just turn up at Everton and just stroll through, and it didn't happen. And there's still a part of the Arsenal mindset and mentality that is still part of this Arsenal squad, and it's going to take a while to sort of get that out. I think in Naples against Napoli, we're not going to have that mindset. I think the players will be far too aware that this is quarterfinal of the Europa Leagues. Is it quarterfinal? I've got confused. No, it's not. Yes, it is. Don't know where we are. Quarterfinals of Europa League. It's a big game. We're 2-0 up. And I just think the players will step up a bit. I'm not. Don't get me wrong. I'm not massively confident because we have got an atrocious away record. But I'm certainly more confident now with the home result.
Okay. John C. Rex asks, am I the only one who's terrified we didn't finish our chances because of the away leg?
Yeah, there is the horrible fear of, depending what happens in the away leg, are those missed chances, you know, the Ramsey one over the bar and a couple of the others, are they going to come back to haunt us because of how well we did play for, you know, we definitely dominated the game and deserved the win. It's a possibility. Of course it is. Anything can happen in football, but I think Ellis is right. This is not Renaway, where perhaps the players went into it with the attitude of, you know, some of them might have gone, who the fuck are Ren, to be perfectly honest. They're going to go, well, this is Napoli. Now, Napoli aren't the biggest team in the world, but they know who they are. They're Champions League regulars. A few of them have played them before. You know, Torreira will tell them about Sao Paulo. And when they get there and they get in that stadium, despite the fact it will not be full, because it never is, the noise it's in there, they will go, oh, fuck, we're in a proper game here. So I really do think they'll be switched on. Still doesn't make me confident, but I think we've done enough in the first leg.
You've also got a number of players in Rambo. I'm not sure if Czech has played out there, but Ramsey, Koscielny and Monreal, who have played out there in the Champions League before now. So we've got a bit of experience out there. So I've got to be honest, this is all going to come down for me to the lineup.
Yeah.
You know, if we're fully fit, if you know, then I'm confident.
And Napoli have to come out and play against us now.
Yeah, they have to be aggressive. They have to be positive.
It's very, very difficult to get that balance just right, especially when we have players like Aubameyang who can use on the break so well.
Yeah.
Also, look at the difference in starting lineups against Everton compared to how we lined up against Napoli.
Oh, the quality of the midfield is so much better.
Exactly.
And the other thing as well, we might have Xhaka back as well as another option, which just...
Added bonus then, isn't it?
Gotta be honest, if you got Xhaka back, okay, I put Torreira and Xhaka in the midfield. Ramsey slightly further up, not in the Ozil role. Aubameyang and Lacazette to make sure the threat is there. Pin back those centre backs and full backs, and you know you see the work rate.
Yeah.
When they tire, you can bring on Iwobi, you can bring on Mesut Ozil, and then you can butcher them.
Yeah,
you can butcher the fuckers then.
Easy as that.
French. I shouldn't sweat. Mate, I've shot my mouth off on Sunday. I've got to back it up. So Rudy Rostos asked, who feels comfortable for the second leg against Napoli? Rudy, I do. I really do. Genuinely, if we've got a full strength squad available, we'll be okay. I really do think that. Ellis, Pete Colson asks, would you be Harry Kane's foot and ankle masseur for 6 months and we win Euro League, or would you miss out on Champions League?
I'd be his foot and ankle masseur. I don't have to be a fucking good one. I'd be an awful one and make his injury last even longer.
Mate, I've got a hammer you can borrow. Meat cleaver, Adam.
I don't think I think even he'd notice something was up if I come in with a meat cleaver and a hammer.
I think it might take him a while. I really do. John.
It would be at least a week before he realises you're working on the wrong ankle.
It'll be another week before he misses he's missing another foot. You know what I mean? Sorry. John, Jim Houston asks, will we regret not taking advantage of our dominance in the second half when we took Ozil and Lacazette off and switched tactics?
Again, it goes back to what we said earlier. I mean, if we go through the tie, no, we're not going to regret it. I'm sure, like, you know, Ramsey's going to come off the pitch tonight and go, like, great performance and everything, but I should have at least got two goals. Aubameyang's probably going to be coming off thinking, I've played really well and helped the team, but I should have scored a goal. You know, there's a few players who will be, you know, Kolasinac will be thinking, I did really, really well tonight, but some of those passes I could have just, you know, if I moved them a yard this way or that way, then I would have found my teammate and they probably would have scored. They're all going to have that in their heads. And as fans, of course, we're going to have that because just the way we've played away all season, we've, you know, you're going to be worried. So it's disappointing. I like the fact that when they did change, when they brought the subs on and we switched the tactics slightly, we retook control of the game because we were starting to lose it a little bit. But no, I'm so much more confident going into the second leg than I thought I was going to be. I'm still going to have nerves about it just because of our away form, but I didn't expect to be feeling this good going into the second leg.
It was a really good performance tonight. And I think, you know, I get why these questions are coming in, and a lot of them very similar. So apologies, but it's what the guys in the chat box are feeling. And we have to be true to the chat box as a live show. And these guys are good enough to support us week in, week out. So we ask the questions. But, you know, after such a good performance tonight, you know, confidence will be up. But, you know, the guys are going to, you know, ask it. We've got a couple of questions left, guys. Then we're going to wrap this up. John Welsh gave me crabs, asks Ellis. Does anyone know where I can buy, where I can bulk buy Caniston? Now, you are a nurse.
No, I don't know. I might be a nurse, and there may have been many places where you could probably buy them in bulk. Because of Brexit, many of those places have gone to Europe. I've just done a Steve and turned it into Brexit. But I'm sure John can probably give you a few tips on some good buyers.
If you look at the cupboard behind John, it's full of Caniston.
That's not wardrobe, that's just supplies.
Let's move on. Elle, I'm going to come back to you here. Payesh Kapoor asks, do you think the two-goal lead is enough, or will we regret the missed chances as our away form is so poor?
I'm going to regret to say this. I think it's enough. If we play smartly, if we play well, it's enough to make Napoli want to come out and try and overturn that league and give us the space to counter and play well. I think if we play like we've discussed, a strong side, and we get our tactics spot on, 2-0 should be plenty enough for us to do well. I'm really nervous now because I think I've proper talked it up, and John the Jonah has said he's confident, so it's all going to go tits up.
Stefan Selby asks, would you play two strikers in the away leg?
I think I might start with Lacazette and then bring on Aubameyang. I think that's what I'd do. If Xhaka's available, I think I like your idea, Jace, of maybe playing Xhaka, Torreira and Ramsey, and then you could play, I don't know, maybe you want to start with Ozil and you have Iwobi probably Iwobi is the other guy.
I'd start the two strikers. Yeah. I would. I'd scare them. I'd pin them back from the off. They're not going to want to deal with this pace. They're not. And then you can bring on a Iwobi. Then you can bring on Ozil. Mm. And then, you know, when they tell you, then you go for them. But there's so many different options if the squad is fully fit. Michael Hahnemann asks, I'll answer this one. Thoughts on the fact you have two huge games in just a matter of days away from home. What kind of rotation would you like to see for Watford with a huge second leg to come just days afterwards? Look, this is the way it is now, okay? You know, this is where we want to be. We want to be in the latter stages of European big European competitions. We want to be challenging for top four and the title. So these guys are going to have to get used to it. Obviously, you know, you've got Torreira back. That's a massive help to us. You've got to monitor Koscielny's fitness. Ramsey's just completed 90 minutes. I thought Lacazette looked heavy-footed today. Okay, I thought you can't question his work rate. He worked his socks off. But I thought on the ball, he's just a bit heavy footed. So I'd probably sit him down maybe on the bench for Watford in the next game. I'd have a look at Koscielny to see where he's at. There's a head injury as well. But I think this is the sharp end of the season. This is what these guys want to be involved with, okay? So it's time for them to man up. No more nonsense about away games. Let's fucking go out there and let's do it. Right, we got to get on with it. Arian Hadari has just smashed in a donation. Thank you, Arian. And he says, John Welsh eliminated racism.
You know, the thing is, Arian's one of the people who realise that whatever they write, we have to read out.
I know.
Within reason.
Do you know the thing that annoys me? I write down all the people who donate, and I put down John Welsh. Oh, I'm not happy. Right, last couple of questions, guys. Ellis, Brandon Jason Gross asks, why do our fans act like it's World War III when Emery substitutes Lacazette, especially when we're 2-0 up and there's only 20 minutes left?
I don't know. I was going to piss Danny off that I answered the question if I don't know, but hey,
that's
hey.
That's a good answer.
I've got to be honest with you. I think it is because I feel the same way.
Should we just leave it there? I don't know. people obviously like Lacazette. He's one of their sort of favourite players, and people don't like their favourite players to be subbed off. But I think it's ridiculous because we've just discussed it with Watford and the second leg of Napoli coming within from Monday to Thursday. You've got to start resting players. And Jason pointed out, he looked a bit flat-footed. He looked a bit tired. He needs to come off. We're 2-0 up. The players he brought on, Mkhitaryan and Roby, can do a job. And it gives Lacazette a chance to rest his legs and not get too sort of burnt out on this heavy sort of fixtures list that we've got in April. So I don't really understand why they do it. I assume it is probably purely because he's their favourite player and people want to see their favourite player play the full 90 minutes.
To be honest, everybody's forgetting as well. We created two fantastic chances with Iwobi and Mkhitaryan on the pitch.
Exactly.
The Ramsey was skying it and Aubameyang putting the side netting when they were on the park. I don't know why people mourn about it. John, Chris Knight asks, do you think we have a better chance of qualifying for Champions League next season through Europa League or Premier League?
Honestly, after tonight's result, I think the Europa League. Just purely because you get those two chances at home. We've got some tough away legs in the league. And, yeah, it's knockout competition. I just think we're, at the moment, we're more of a cup team than we are a League Four team.
Fair enough. Final question of the night. Arsenal TV asks, do you think the Watford game could take effect on us on Thursday in the second leg? Pardon me. I'll answer this. Only if we let it. It's up, you know, we've got millions of pounds invested in direct performance directors, in the fitness team, in the medical team, etc. It's up to Unai and the backroom staff to work together to make sure these guys are ready for it. And it's up to our players to have the right attitude to go out there and finish this tie. There's no messing about, you know, this is why they get paid hundreds of thousands of pounds a week, okay? It's to perform. So it's down to them. No more crap like Everton. That should be the stick which we use to really, you know, get them motivated. But, you know, they're more than capable of winning both those games. And that's it for tonight. My thanks to every single one of you in the chat box. Chat box has been absolutely magic tonight. Really, really enjoyed it. Thank you ever so much for being part of this, guys. I got 121 likes. You're being a bit skimpy there, I think. But, you know, come on. Let's go. Come on, tappy, tappy. Let's get going. Massive thanks to J-Rob, Michael Hahnemann, Jim Howson, Mr. Boblex, and Arian Hadari. Thank you for the donations. As always, you know, you blow us away with that. We really, really appreciate it. Thank you. As I say, the podcast this week had John, Chris, and Josh. It's a really, really good listen. The boys, it flowed beautifully. Some really interesting points. And Chris took part as well. So give it a listen, okay? We have a special being released on the weekend. It's a mental health special with a Crystal Palace fan called Paul Price, who's raising awareness for CALM. That's the campaign against living miserably. They're focusing on getting awareness for mental health problems and using football as a vehicle to do that. They're walking from Selhurst Park to the Emirates. Please give it a listen. Please support them. You know, we harp on about it here, but, you know, it's important. It's really, really important. Paul was brilliant to talk to. And I'm going to give him credit when he sat on the other end of this podcast. But John was as brave and as honest as always about his issues and mental health. So we would really appreciate your support there, guys. Join the walk. You can join at any given point on the route, or you can start from Selhurst Park and walk the 12 miles. If you're at the game, you can't make the walk, make sure you give them a massive round of applause when they get there. Give them a welcome. Okay, these guys are, you know, it's magnificent to see what they're doing. So please, please, please support that. Okay, it's not about us. It's about Calm, it's about Paul and all those guys doing that walk. And, you know, being so brutally honest and brave, it's magnificent. To those of you listening on any other platforms, thank you as always. It's been a good night tonight. It's a lot more fun to do these when we perform and we put in some, you know, we perform that in that manner and everybody turns up. It's magnificent. And special thanks to you, John Welsh.
Thank you, Jace. Pleasure as always, mate.
I always enjoy with you, mate. And a massive thank you to the one and only, the hero of A&E in East Anglia. It is Ellis Mel.
Oh, mate, you're too kind. And can I just point out, not one technical problem with my Norwich internet. Probably going to cut out now, but I've done it. I've made the whole show. It's amazing.
I know, it's magnificent, isn't it? guys, it's been a good night. Enjoy it. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll see you on Monday. I think it's Monday, isn't it?
Monday night. Yeah, Watford.
We'll see you Monday night for the after show game. Have a cracking weekend. Keep it Arsenal. John, switch this shit off.